Welcome to session 4 of the Microsoft Partner Practice Enablement Bootcamp training. My name is Rick Rainey, and I am a Microsoft Azure trainer and consultant for Upsgility, a training company focused on the Microsoft Azure platform. It is my pleasure to be your instructor for this module. You can contact me on Twitter at RickRaineyTX or through our website at Upsgility.com. The topic for this module is Microsoft Azure Active Directory. So we have a lot to cover in this module. I'm going to start with an introduction to Microsoft Azure Active Directory. Next, I will talk about using Azure Active Directory to configure application access for users in the directory. I'll talk briefly about the Azure Active Directory Application Proxy Service. We'll look at multi-factor authentication and some of the company branding features that are available in Azure Active Directory. Then, I'm going to wrap up by covering directory integration and running Windows Server Active Directory and Active Directory Federation Services workloads on virtual machines in Azure. So let's begin with an introduction to Microsoft Azure Active Directory. Microsoft Azure Active Directory is a multi-tenant application service providing enterprise-level identity and access management for the cloud. Now, to be perfectly clear, it is not Windows Server Active Directory running on a virtual machine. It is a multi-tenant application service designed for global internet scale, reliability, and availability. So what can you do with it? Well, with Microsoft Azure Active Directory, you can provision users and groups to manage access to your cloud applications and services. You can extend your on-premises Active Directory to Microsoft Azure Active Directory. You can provide a single sign-on experience for your users accessing applications that your organization depends on. And using the multi-factor authentication service, you can increase security and reduce risk by requiring users to take additional steps during authentication. And finally, you can support your development team's requirements to build secure line-of-business applications for the organization through a rich set of open standards protocols that are supported by Azure Active Directory. So I made the point that Azure Active Directory is not just Windows Server Active Directory running in a virtual machine. However, there are some similarities between Server Active Directory and Azure Active Directory, and this diagram kind of helps to identify what those are. So just as Server Active Directory running on-premises provides identity and access for common applications like Exchange for email, SharePoint for collaboration, and other line of business applications, Azure Active Directory provides identity and access for cloud versions of these applications, such as Office 365 with Exchange, SharePoint Online, and other cloud-hosted applications that the organization may use. For developers, LDAP is a commonly used technology when writing applications that query the on-premises directory. However, in Microsoft Azure, the Graph API is used when querying the Azure Active Directory. The identity for a user is one that can exist in an on-premises Active Directory as well as Azure Active Directory. And while the two certainly can be managed independently of each other, it is not a requirement that you do so. And for organizations that do not have an on-premises directory, Azure Active Directory can be the single directory. Having said that, in a hybrid world where user identities are managed on-premises with Windows Server AD, that Active Directory can be extended to Azure AD. Now, by doing this, users can access cloud applications using the same identity that they use when accessing applications on-premises. As users move from the on-premises environment to environments where they may be using a different computer at home, for example, or other devices such as a mobile phone, they can still access the line of business applications that they need to through Azure Active Directory using their on-premises credentials. It is also becoming increasingly common for users who are not part of an organization's on-premises directory to still be provisioned to access applications managed by the organization. For example, in a freelance type of scenario with someone working on a short-term project. In these cases, you can integrate these users into the Azure Active Directory using their identity from, say, a social identity provider such as Microsoft account or Google or Facebook or even Twitter, and then provision their account to access applications as needed. Azure Active Directory currently has two tiers. There's a free tier, which is what comes with every Azure subscription. And there's also a premium tier that includes some fantastic features targeting the enterprise. Just to call out a few of those features here, you get Forefront Identity Manager server licenses, and you also get a 99.99% SLA. You get a group-based application access, as well as some custom branding features, and we'll talk more about that later. At the bottom of the screen is a link where you can get a detailed list of features that come with Azure AD Premium. Here are a few more of the features you get with Azure Active Directory Premium. Again, follow the link at the bottom of the screen for full details. Now that we've talked a little about what Azure Active Directory is, let's see how you can perform some basic tasks in Azure AD. In this demonstration, I'm going to show you some basic concepts to create and manage a Microsoft Azure Active Directory. In particular, I'm going to show you how to create a directory. I'll then show you how to associate that Active Directory with your Azure subscription. And then we'll create some users and create a security group and add users to that security group. So let's get started. First thing I'm going to do is create a new Azure Active Directory. And one of the things that you'll have to do when you create a new directory is you'll have to provide a unique domain name. So I'm going to try PPE Labs. Looks like that's available. And select my region. Now, to associate this directory with my Azure subscription, I'm going to go down to Settings. I'm going to click on my subscription and click the Edit Directory link down here at the bottom. You'll notice that the PPE Labs Active Directory in my list, so I'm going to select that. And when I do this, you'll notice that the portal reloads and is reloading in the context of ppelabs.onmicrosoft.com. You'll notice that up here in the URL. Now that we have the directory created, I'm going to add a user to it. And this first user I'm going to add is going to be a global administrator in the directory. I'm going to call this user John Doe. And just for the sake of demonstration here, I'm going to put global admin next to his display name so we know that he is a global administrator in the directory. To indicate that he's a global administrator, you just select that option for his role. And anytime you create a administrator in your directory, you need to provide an alternate email address. A good choice for that is to just simply use the email address of the account administrator. Next, we're going to create the user, and when we do, it's going to generate a temporary password. And this password will have to be changed on the first sign-in. So I'm going to go ahead and copy that. And I'm going to save this to Notepad so I can easily retrieve it later. All right, so John Doe has now been added to the directory. Now, by making John Doe a global administrator, what that means is John Doe will be able to administer the directory. In other words, create users, create security groups, and so on. Now, to be clear, this user will not be able to administer the Azure subscription. So, in other words, create resources like virtual machines or virtual networks. And the reason why is that while John Doe may be a global administrator in the directory, John Doe is not an administrator on the Azure subscription. We'll fix that later, but for now, John Doe is only able to administer the directory. Okay, so I'm going to add another user, and this will just be a regular user in the directory. This user will be Jane Smith. And just like we had with the previous user, when we create this user, it will generate a temporary password. So I'm going to save this password to Notepad as well. And now we have Jane Smith in the directory as well. Now I'm going to add John Doe as a co-administrator on the subscription. To do that, I'll go back to the settings. I'll click on my subscription. Go to administrators, and I'm going to click the add button down here. I'm going to enter John Doe's username. And you'll notice it identifies John Doe as an organizational user in the PPE Labs AD directory. I'm going to make this user a co-administrator on this subscription. And now that John Doe is a co-administrator on the subscription, I'm going to sign into the Azure Management Portal as John Doe. And I'm going to retrieve the temporary password from Notepad for the John Doe user and paste that in. Now, the first time I'm signing in, I'm going to be prompted to assign a new permanent password for John Doe. So I'll do that now. And what you can see here is in the upper right-hand corner, I am signed in as John Doe at ppelabs.onmicrosoft.com. This is an organizational user, and you can see that by the corporate badge icon next to my username. Now I'm going to create a security group in my directory. So I'm going to go back into the directory section and go to groups and click on the add a group link. I'm going to call this group the help desk group. In this next step, I'm going to add Jane Smith to the security group. So I'll just click on the add members, and I'm going to click on Jane Smith's name, and you'll notice that she appears in the selected section over here. Click the checkmark button, and now Jane Smith is in the help desk group. The last thing I'm going to show in this demo is the experience that would happen if I try to sign into the Azure Management Portal as Jane Smith. And this time I'm going to sign in as Jane Smith. And I will enter the temporary password from Notepad. And just like with the John Doe user, I'll have to change the temporary password to a new permanent password. And as you'll see here, we're getting a message saying that we're unable to find any subscriptions associated with the Jane Smith account. And the reason why is because Jane Smith is just a user in the Azure Active Directory. She's not a co-administrator on the Azure subscription, so therefore she won't be able to sign into the Azure Management Portal and administer the Azure subscription. Let's look now at how you can configure application access using Azure Active Directory. Organizations increasingly rely on software as a service applications or SaaS applications to support their business activities. And with Azure Active Directory, it's easy to integrate these applications into your environment and manage user access to them. The experience for integrating SaaS applications with Azure Active Directory is influenced by four main tenets. The first being a first-class single sign-on experience for users to access the applications that they have been given access to. Next is account synchronization between an organization's on-premises Active Directory and their Azure Active Directory, whereby users are automatically provisioned or deprovisioned for applications as they are added to or removed from the on-premises directory. The Azure Management Portal provides a centralized location to manage application access for users and security groups, along with some very rich monitoring and reporting capabilities to gain critical visibility into application usage in the organization. The support for single sign-on to third-party applications basically comes in two forms. The first is federation-based, where users are signed in to their applications using their Azure Active Directory credentials. The other is password-based, where users are signed in to their applications using their own personal credentials from the third-party application. In this scenario, the user's credentials are securely stored in Azure Active Directory, and when the user accesses the application, those credentials are provided to the application to sign the user in. As applications are configured for the organization, users can see and launch the applications that they've been given access to using the Access Panel. This is a web-based portal for users and does not require individual users to have an Azure subscription. The Access Panel gives users a place to edit their passwords for applications configured with password-based single sign-on. They can also change preferences relating to multi-factor authentication settings. For example, the phone number where text verification codes are sent to. For users on iOS devices, the Access Panel is accessible from the My Apps application for iOS. This provides an optimized single sign-on experience for users accessing their cloud applications from an iPhone or iPad without having to install any web browser extensions. Just look for My Apps-Azure Active Directory in the Apple Store. Finally, if you want to see all the applications that are available in the application gallery, there's a handy link at the bottom of the screen where you can discover the hundreds of applications that are available, and you do not need an Azure subscription to access it. So let's take a look now at how to configure application access for an application using password-based single sign-on. In this demonstration, I'm going to show how to add a SaaS application to Azure Active Directory. The application I'm going to add is Microsoft OneDrive, and I'm going to configure it for password-based single sign-on. After adding the application to the directory, I'm going to sign into the Access Panel as a user in the directory and use the Access Panel to see and launch the Microsoft OneDrive application. As you can see on my screen in the upper right corner, I'm signed in as John Doe in the PPE Labs directory. And if you recall from the earlier demo, John Doe is a global administrator in the directory, and so therefore we'll be able to configure the directory for application access. I'm going to click on the Applications tab and then click the Add an Application link. And since the Microsoft OneDrive application is in the gallery, I'm going to select the option to add an application from the gallery. I'm going to search for OneDrive. There it is. And as you can see, the Microsoft OneDrive application has been added to the Azure Active Directory. There are still a couple of steps that need to be performed to configure Microsoft OneDrive. The first one is to configure single sign-on. And as you can see right here, it's actually already completed, but I'll go ahead and click on this so you can see what the setting was. By default, it defaults to password-based single sign-on. So the next step is to assign users. So I'm going to click on the Assign Users button. I'm going to click on Jane Smith, and I'm going to then click the Assign button at the bottom of the screen to assign access to the Microsoft OneDrive application for Jane Smith. As you can see up here, Jane Smith has now been assigned access to Microsoft OneDrive. Next, I'm going to sign into the Access panel as Jane Smith. And there's the Microsoft OneDrive in the Access panel for Jane Smith. You can see that Jane Smith is signed in to the Access panel up here in the upper right corner of the Access panel screen. So I'm going to click on the Microsoft OneDrive icon. And since this is the first time that I'm accessing the application from Jane Smith's Access panel, I'm being prompted to install an Access panel extension, which is just a browser add-on to manage this application. So I'm going to click the Install Now button. And you'll notice at the bottom of the screen is the Access Panel Extension, MSI. I'm going to go ahead and select Run. And then click through the wizard. And what you can see here is I'm redirected to basically just a help page. That just is saying that if the Access Panel is not working, you might need to enable it. And so there's a little option there to enable that. I did not get prompted in this case, so I'm going to assume everything is okay. And now I'm going to sign back into the Access panel as Jane Smith. And now I'm going to click on the Microsoft OneDrive application icon again. Since this is the first time I'm actually launching the Microsoft OneDrive application, it's asking me for my personal credentials. In other words, the credentials for Jane Smith. Now I don't have a OneDrive set up for Jane Smith, so I'm just going to use one of my personal accounts to demonstrate and sign in. And here you can see I'm in my Microsoft OneDrive. So I'm going to close this tab for now and go back to the Access panel. So now that I have installed the Access panel extension and I've successfully authenticated to my Microsoft OneDrive, now when I'm signed into the Access panel, I can just click on the link for Microsoft OneDrive and it should take me right to the OneDrive application. And indeed it does. And you'll notice I was not prompted for credentials, and that was because my credentials are stored securely in Microsoft Azure Active Directory. Now, let's see how application access can be configured for Federation-based single sign-on. In this demo, I'm going to show you how to configure a SaaS application through your Windows Azure Active Directory and assign permissions for users in the directory to access the application. You're also going to see how users can discover the applications they have been given access to through the Application Access panel. The application that I'm going to configure is Dropbox. I'm going to start by logging into the Windows Azure Management Portal. I'll be logging in as an admin on the subscription. You'll notice in the upper right corner, I'm logged in as an organizational user, indicated by the badge icon next to my login name. I'm going to go into my Active Directory on Azure. I'm going to click on Applications. This page lists all the applications that are currently configured for my organization. So I have some Office 365 services currently configured. I'm going to add another. Click on the Add an Application link for my organization to use. Next, I'm going to scroll down and find Dropbox for Business. Click on the check mark. And now that's been added. The next step will be to configure this application with my organization. The first step is to enable single sign-on with Windows Azure AD. So I'll start by clicking on the Configure Single Sign-On button. And the first question is regarding mode. Here I can choose to have users authenticate using their Windows Azure AD credentials, or they can authenticate using their existing application credentials. This is the difference between federated-based Federated-based single sign-on and password-based single sign-on. So I'm going to choose the federated-based single sign-on option. Next, I'm going to download a certificate. This certificate is what will give Windows Azure access to the Dropbox for Business account. I'm going to save that to my downloads folder. And next, I'm going to save this sign-in page URL. This sign-in page URL is just simply what will be used to redirect users to the Dropbox for Business sign-on. I'm going to save that into Notepad for now. We'll come back to that. And we click the check mark. And that's it. Step one is now done. The next component to part one is to actually configure the Dropbox for Business account so that Windows Azure can automatically provision users in that account. That's why you see this little link right here under step one to set up the business account configurations for Dropbox. To do that, I've logged into my business account on Dropbox and went to the authentication tab. In the authentication tab is an option to enable single sign-on. And you're given two options here. One is optional, which means users can sign in using their own personal credentials with Dropbox, so if they have their own personal Dropbox account, or required, which enforces them to use their Windows Azure credentials for signing on, and that's the one we want. Next is the sign-in URL, and this is the URL that I copied from the Windows Azure portal in the first step. So I'm just going to put that back in there. Looks like it's the same one, but just in case. And then finally is the certificate, and this is what gives Windows Azure access to the business account so it can automatically provision users. So I'm going to go select that and save the changes. Now we've enabled single sign-on from the Dropbox account. Back in the Windows Azure portal, the next step is to enable automatic user provisioning to the Dropbox for Business account. You start this process by clicking on the Configure User Provisioning button. What you're basically doing in this step is giving Windows Azure AD permissions to provision users in the Dropbox for Business account. You start that by clicking on the Enable User Provisioning. And it's going to ask you to sign in using administrator credentials for your Dropbox account. You'll see the little red warning at the top saying an application wants to link to your Dropbox account. So I'm going to log in using my administrator credentials for my Dropbox for Business account. And what you'll see is a message at the top saying the authorization was successful. Click the check mark. Now, step two is complete. The third and final step is to assign users to Dropbox for Business. We'll do this by clicking on the Assign Users tab. You can also get to this by just going to the Users and Groups tab at the top. And you'll see here I have just a few users, but I have one user, John Doe, that I'm going to assign access to the Dropbox account. So I'll do that by highlighting his name and click the Assign button at the bottom. You'll see that there's a message saying, are you sure you want to enable access? Click on Yes. And that's it. This user, John Doe, is now going to be able to access the Dropbox for Business account. So now I'm going to log into the Application Access panel as John Doe, and this will demonstrate seeing how users can explore the applications that they've been given access to. You get to the Access panel by going to myapps.microsoft.com. And I'm going to sign in as John Doe. And what you're going to see here is the three applications that John Doe has access to. It's the Office 365 applications, and he also has access now to Dropbox. If I were to click on Dropbox, he's not going to actually have access just yet because he's going to have to go through an onboarding process and accept the terms before doing so. But I'll go ahead and show you what happens if you don't do that. So you're going to get a message right here saying you are not a member of a team. Please sign in below. That's not what we want, though. So I'm going to go back to the application access panel and log into Office 365 web apps to check my mail as John Doe. And you'll see there's a message waiting there for me from Rick Rainey, the administrator of the Dropbox for Business account. And basically what it's saying is, hey, you got this get started link you need you to click on. You need to verify your name. It pulled that in for me automatically. John Doe wants me to agree to the Dropbox for Business agreement terms and then click continue to sign in. This is just a glitch in the system that happens when you first sign in a user after clicking on the Dropbox for Business account terms and then click the sign on link. So just ignore this, close the window. I'm going to go back to my application access panel and click on Dropbox for Business, and this time it should work. So it's recognized me as John in the organizational directory. It's not prompting me for password. I just click on continue, and it will sign me in automatically into Dropbox using my Windows Azure AD credentials. So I'm going to sign out now, sign out as John Doe, and I'm going to log in now as a different user that doesn't have access to the Dropbox application and show the experience for that user. So I'm going to sign out as John Doe. I'm going to go back to the myapps.microsoft.com, and this time I'm going to log in as Michael. And Michael does not have access to Dropbox, which we'll see here in just a minute. So you can see here there are no applications available for user Michael. So I'm going to go back to the Windows Azure portal, and I'm going to highlight Michael's name and just simply click Assign Access, verify that I want to give him permissions to that application. Go back to the application access panel for user Michael, and if I just refresh, I should see Dropbox, which I do. Now, of course, Michael will have to then log into email and also go through the agreement and terms for the business account for Dropbox. But once he does that, he also will be able to authenticate automatically using his Windows Azure AD credentials. Coming off of the application access topic, I want to talk briefly about another feature called Cloud App Discovery. With Cloud App Discovery, IT professionals can gain critical visibility into which cloud applications are in use in the organization. As part of the service, you can see usage graphs pinpointing users, requests, and even the volume of data exchanged with these applications. You can see what the top SaaS applications being used in the organization are, and then make informed decisions to either add or not add the application to your Azure Active Directory. It is an agent-based solution, so after you enable the feature, you will need to install it on the computers that you want to monitor. The way it works is simply this. As users are accessing various SaaS applications, the agent on their device will collect basic information about the application being accessed and the amount of data being exchanged. The agent stores the information in Azure. And using a portal, the IT department is able to access some rich reporting and graphs about the applications being used. So let's talk now about Azure AD Application Proxy Service. This is a reverse proxy as a service that builds on the capabilities of the on-premises web application proxy in Server 2012 R2. This service takes away the heavy lifting of deploying the web application proxy in your DMZ to publish on-premises applications for external users, and instead moves this workload to Microsoft Azure as a service. It supports browser-based applications using either HTTP or HTTPS. In its current version, the service supports pass-through authentication only. Support for pre-authentication is coming, but at this time, there's not information on that. The architecture for Azure AD Application Proxy leverages the Cloud Connector pattern, simplifying the deployment and configuration as compared to traditional on-premises web application proxy deployments. This also offers better security. It's based on this notion of connectors to handle the HTTP request, and these connectors can be redundant for high availability situations. Another thing that is uniquely different with this architecture is that it is stateless. To illustrate how this works for the pass-through scenario, on the right is your standard on-premises network with a couple of line of business applications. In front of these applications are one or more connectors, which are basically just dedicated servers running the connector you downloaded from the portal when you enable the feature. These connectors establish a connection with your Azure Active Directory through a queue service that dispatches the request and the responses. So for the use case of a user wanting to access, say, the benefits application, the user would navigate in their browser to the endpoint published from the Azure Active Directory proxy service for that application. The request is then passed to the request response queue, then to the connector running on-premises, and then finally to the benefits application. The response is returned by the application and essentially follows the same path back to the user. So let's tighten up security a little and let's talk about multi-factor authentication. Multi-factor authentication simply means using more than one method to verify a user for authentication. It is also known as two-factor authentication, or the acronym 2FA. The way it works is, during the first leg of authentication, you provide something you know, such as a username and password. After successfully authenticating with your credentials, the second leg begins, where you are challenged, for example, to enter a security code that's been sent to your device, such as a mobile phone. After entering the security code, the two-factor authentication is complete. There can be other methods for verifying a user. The key here is that at least two methods are used. So let's see now how multi-factor authentication works with Azure Active Directory. In this next demonstration, I'm going to show you how to set up multi-factor authentication for your Azure Active Directory. I'm going to start by showing you how to create a multi-factor authentication provider and linking that to your Azure Active Directory. And then we'll enable multi-factor authentication for a user in the directory and then actually authenticate as that user to see multi-factor authentication working. And then finally, I'm going to wrap up by showing how you can run some basic multi-factor authentication reports available in Azure Active Directory. So the first step is to create a multi-factor authentication provider. So I'm going to go to App Services, Active Directory, and there is the option for multi-factor authentication provider. And then your usage model, I covered this in the deck, it can be per enabled user or per authentication. I'll just stick with enabled user. And I'm going to link this to my PPE Labs Active Directory. So the next step is to enable multi-factor authentication for one of the users in the directory. So I'm going to go back to the directory listing. Next, I'm going to go to the users section for my directory. And I'm going to highlight the Jane Smith user and then click the Manage Multi-Factor Auth button at the bottom of the screen. This is going to open up a new portal for me. And you can see we have Jane Smith and John Doe, my two users. I'm going to go ahead and select Jane Smith. And then I'm going to click the enable link to enable multi-factor authentication for Jane Smith. As you can see here, Jane Smith has been enabled for multi-factor authentication. Now I'm going to sign into the access panel as Jane Smith. So I'm going to go ahead and close this window out and open a new session. And what you can see here now is a message saying that my administrator has basically set up my account and requires additional information to set up. So I'm going to go ahead and click the Setup Now button. And this is where I will add my mobile phone number and preferences of whether or not I want a text message or a phone call for the second method of authentication. I'm going to select mobile phone, United States, and put my phone number in. And I'm going to select the option for a text message and then click the next button. So this is basically saying it's going to send me a text verification code. So I'm going to click the verify now button. And there is my text with my code. And then verify. And so as you can see here, verification was successful. So all I've done at this point is set up my verification method, my cell phone number, and authentication preference for multi-factor authentication. So now I'll click the next button. Now if my Jane Smith user were using Outlook or Link, then I'd have to change the password again for security reasons. But since this is just for demonstration, I'm going to choose the option to say I don't use this account with these apps. And now I'm being asked to authenticate one more time. And I just got another text code because this is this multi-factor authentication occurring. And now I'm back in the access panel as Jane Smith. And I had to go through multi-factor authentication to get here. In this last part of the demo, I'm going to show you how to run a basic multi-factor authentication report. So I'm going to go back to the directory listing and click on the multi-factor auth providers link at the top of the screen. This is my multi-factor authentication provider that I added at the very beginning. I'm going to click the manage button at the bottom of the screen, and this will take me to a new portal where I can run a report. I'm going to click on the view a report link. And the options are to run a summary report, a user summary report, or a user details report. I'll go ahead and do a user details report. And as you can see, there's several things that you can filter on. I'm going to go ahead and just accept the default since I just have the one user. Click the run button. And this report has now been queued. Over here on the left-hand side of the screen, you can click on the queued link. And there's my report, and I'll just click on view to view the report here in the browser. So there you can see I signed in as Jane Smith. It shows the time that I signed in as well as the phone number. And there was actually two authentication requests occurring. The first one was during the verification where I was setting up my multi-factor authentication settings for my cell phone. And then the second one was when I actually logged into the application access panel. In this next section, I'm going to talk about how you can customize Azure Active Directory with company branding. The custom branding features in Azure Active Directory require the premium tier. This feature enables you to customize both the sign-in page and access panel page for your users in a way that users can identify with their organization. For example, the banner logo and the large illustration on the sign-in page can be changed to use a company logo and graphic. You can also add text to the sign-in page. A good use case for this is displaying help desk contact information such as a phone number or email address. Let's see how company branding can be added to Azure Active Directory. In this demonstration, I'm going to show you how you can customize the sign-in and access panel experience for users in your Azure Active Directory. Now, this custom branding feature is a feature of the Azure Active Directory Premium tier. And so for this demonstration, I have switched over to a directory where I have Azure Active Directory Premium enabled. To enable the custom branding features, you'll just simply go over to the Configure tab. And in here, you will see a customized branding button. So I'm going to click on that. And here you can see all the options that are available to customize either the sign-in experience or the access panel page for the users. So I'm just going to make a few changes just to illustrate the feature. And I'll start with the logo. So I'm going to use a Contoso logo. And I'll also change the page illustration. This is the big illustration that's on the left-hand side of the sign-in page. And another thing you can do is also change the text. So for example, maybe you want users to have contact information for the help desk, whether it be a phone number or an email address, if they are having trouble signing in and need to contact the help desk. So that's a good place to put that. So I'm going to go ahead and apply these changes. So now that the changes have been applied, I'm going to sign into the access panel as a user in my directory. And what I want you to notice is, as I'm signing in, once my realm, in other words, my domain that I'm signing into is identified, you're going to see this sign-in page become customized. And as I tab through that, you'll notice that my domain, rickranney.com, was identified. And of course, I had the customized branding features that I just added. So it's got my illustration on the left-hand side. It's got my banner logo up here. And you'll notice it's also got my text message that I added to contact the help desk if you have any questions. I'll go ahead and complete the sign-in. And that's all there is to customizing the sign-in experience for users in your Active Directory. In this next section, I'm going to talk about how you can integrate an on-premises Windows Server Active Directory with your Azure Active Directory. This is a powerful feature that greatly simplifies identity and access management of cloud applications for your on-premises users. The first scenario that we're going to look at is called Directory Sync, where users and groups are synchronized from an on-premises Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. In this scenario, when user objects are synchronized to Azure AD, the user's on-premises password is not part of the data that's synchronized. This means that users will have a different password when authenticating to Azure AD than when they authenticate to the on-premises Windows Server Active Directory. The next scenario is Directory Sync with Password Sync, and this is basically an extension of Directory Sync that also synchronizes a hash of a user's password to Azure Active Directory. Now, this enables users to sign into cloud applications using the same on-premises password. Note that this is not single sign-on, though. Even if a user is already authenticated on-premises, the user will still be challenged for credentials when accessing cloud applications through Azure Active Directory. The credentials will be the same, but they will have to re-enter them. In this scenario, a user's on-premises password is double hashed, and it is that hash of the user's password that is stored in Azure AD. It is not the password itself that's stored in Azure AD. The last scenario is Directory Sync with Single Sign-On. This is also known as Federation because of a Federation Trust that exists between the on-premises Server Active Directory and Azure Active Directory. Here, users will not be challenged for their username and password if they have already been authenticated on-premises, and that is a result of the authentication actually occurring in the on-premises Active Directory. This is a very different scenario from the previous two, where the authentication occurs in Azure Active Directory. This scenario comes with some additional work up front to enable it. to support the trust relationship between the on-premises directory and the Azure Active Directory, a Security Token Service, or STS, must be deployed next to the on-premises Active Directory to handle the necessary protocols, such as WS Federation. In a Microsoft environment, this STS will likely be Active Directory Federation Services, or ADFS. It could also be a supported third-party STS, such as Shibboleth. A cornerstone to the directory sync scenarios that I've covered in the last few slides is a tool called DirSync. It is this tool that facilitates synchronization between an on-premises Active Directory and Azure Active Directory. This tool also supports a feature to write back password resets to an on-premises server Active Directory that has been integrated with Azure AD. Note that this feature exists for password resets, not changes. This write-back feature is available in the directory sync with password sync scenario, as well as the directory sync with single sign-on scenario. It is also only available for the Azure AD premium tier. After you have installed the DirSync tool, if you want to enable the password write-back feature, you'll have to perform a couple of additional steps. First, you need to run a PowerShell script that the DirSync tool installs for you. Next, run the enable online password write-back commandlet. And what this is going to do is prompt you for two sets of credentials. The first being the admin credentials for your on-premises server Active Directory, and then the next being the global administrator credentials for your Azure Active Directory. These are the same credentials that you provide when installing the DirSync tool. After this, you will have DirSync configured with password write-back enabled. The DirSync tool runs automatically in the background and on certain intervals. For example, directory sync runs on a 3-hour interval, and password sync runs on a 2-minute interval. However, if a user performs a password reset, then the write-back is instant, or within a few seconds at least. In situations where you need to synchronize on demand, there is a PowerShell commandlet that can be run called start online coexistence sync. The Windows Application Event Log is where the DirSync tool does its logging, so you can go there to view the logs. However, if you're one that prefers a visual experience for directory synchronization, you could run the Synchronization Service Manager. Now, just a heads up on this, if you do run this tool, you may get an error saying that the user is not a member of a required security group for the application. And if so, then what you need to do here is create a security group called MIIS Admins and then just add the logged in user to it. There's a KB article here in the slide that explains why this happens and the workaround in more details. This tool is installed for you automatically when you install DirSync on the server. Now there's a new tool on the scene that's called the Azure Active Directory Sync Tool, or abbreviated as AAD Sync. Now this is going to be an eventual replacement for the DirSync tool. In the meantime, this tool can be run in parallel with the DirSync tool. Today, the key scenario that's targeted by AAD Sync is the onboarding of multi-forest server Active Directory deployments to Azure Active Directory. It's going to be expanded to support all of the features of DirSync in the future, but for now, this is the primary use case for the tool. So let me quickly show you the configuration for the demo I'm about to show you. I have two virtual machines in Azure to simulate what would be an on-premises environment. I've configured a virtual network called PPE VNet, and I've added two virtual machines to it, one for the domain controller called PPE DC, and another for the directory sync tool, which is called PPE DirSync. On the right is my Azure Active Directory tenant. The DirSync tool is going to reach into the Active Directory on the PPE DC server on a regular interval and synchronize user objects and groups to the Azure Active Directory tenant. So let's take a look now at directory sync with password sync. In this demonstration, I'm going to demonstrate the directory integration features of Azure Active Directory. I'm going to configure DirSync with Password Sync. In the first part of this demonstration, I'm going to show setting up the DirSync tool on my DirSync server. To get started, I'm going to enable directory integration for my Azure Active Directory. So I'm going to go to the Directory Integration tab. And then right here is where you'll find the link to download the DirSync tool. I'm going to go ahead and save my change. And while that's saving, I'll go ahead and download the DirSync tool. At this stage, I have enabled Directory Sync on my Azure Active Directory, and I have downloaded the DirSync tool to my DirSync server. Here is my DirSync server. You can see it's joined to the PPE Labs, and here is the DirSync tool that I just downloaded. So I'm going to run this. And this was something I called out in the presentation. This is a requirement for the DirSync tool. And since I just created this server, I'm going to now install .NET Framework 3.5. Now I will install DirSync. So now that the installation is complete, we can continue with configuration of the Directory Sync tool. Okay, so the first screen of the dialog is just basically explaining what we're going to be doing, and you're going to need credentials for the global administrator for your Azure Active Directory, as well as admin credentials for your on-prem server Active Directory. If you recall, John Doe is a global administrator in my Azure Active Directory. And now it wants the admin credentials for my Windows Server Active Directory. Here, if you want to support the hybrid deployment model, this will allow you to persist changes back to your on-prem server Active Directory from your Azure Active Directory for existing objects only. For this demo, I'm not going to set this up, so I'm going to just click Next. And then finally is the password synchronization. And while that's running, I'm going to go ahead and switch over to my Active Directory server just to show a couple of the users that I've already created in that server. So this is my Active Directory server. You see here I have the PPE Labs domain. I have the one computer, the PPE DirSync that I was showing just a minute ago where I was installing the DirSync tool. And I have two on-prem users that I wanted to point out. The first one is Bob Smith. The other one is Jane Doe. Okay, so we're back at the DirSync server and the configuration is complete. And we'll go ahead and let it do a synchronization right away. And that's all there is to installing the DirSync tool. To verify that the synchronization is working, I'm going to go back to the Azure Active Directory in my Azure Management Portal. We should see those two users, Bob Smith and Jane Doe, in the directory, and we should see them as sourced from the local Active Directory. So here you can see we have Bob Smith and Jane Doe that were added to my Azure Active Directory tenant. And notice over here, they're sourced from the local Active Directory, not the Azure Active Directory. So synchronization appears to be working just fine. So we'll continue on with the demo next. In this demonstration, I'm going to show how directory synchronization with Password Sync works behind the scenes. So the first thing that I'm going to show is just the users and groups that were already synchronized. Now, I've already got directory synchronization set up on my DirSync server, and so it has already synchronized my on-premise users and groups. Both of these users were sourced from the local Active Directory. In addition to the users that were synchronized, you'll notice that also there were some groups that were synchronized as well. So if you recall from the earlier demo, I had created this help desk security group, and you'll notice it's sourced from Windows Azure Active Directory. But now I also have some other security groups that were sourced from my local Active Directory. So I'm going to switch over now to the DirSync server, and we'll take a look at the event logging on that server. So here's the DirSync server. I'm going to filter this event log for just the directory synchronization. If you'll notice over here, there's an event ID 657. This is in the documentation, but 657 is how you can identify password syncs. And so you'll notice, if I click on that event log, and what you'll notice is that the Bob Smith user in the local directory, as well as Jane Doe, both were being synchronized. Their passwords were being hashed and synchronized. This is actually the beginning. If you look at this, the timing of this log, so this actually started at 2:43:54, and you'll notice it was the password synchronization started. And then there's just a series of logs to follow as part of this event interval. And 657 is actually showing the result of that password synchronization. And then at 2:43:59 is the very end of this. So you'll see the end with a tracking ID. Another handy tool is the Synchronization Service Manager. It gives you a little bit easier visual peek into how the synchronization is working. The only caveat is that it does not show password synchronization. It just shows directory object synchronization. But let's go ahead and look at that now. This is installed automatically when you install the DirSync tool. And here's the tool. It's MIIS client. There's basically just been one synchronization, and that was the initial one that was done just a few minutes ago when I first installed the DirSync tool. But what you'll notice here is you can actually click into some of the links. So you'll notice that there were basically five objects that were added or synchronized to the Azure Active Directory. And if you click on these links, now obviously the names are a little cryptic looking, but if you drill into them, you can see the details. So you can see this is actually a security group that was being synchronized. And here is the Jane Doe user that was being synchronized to Azure Active Directory. So the next thing I want to show in this demo is a password change on the local directory and see how it synchronizes to Azure Active Directory. So I'm going to switch over to my domain controller. So here is my PPE DC machine, the domain controller, and I'm going to change the password for Jane Doe. And now I'm going to go back over to the DirSync server, and we should see just momentarily a password synchronization for Jane Doe occur. Now, remember, the Synchronization Service Manager only shows synchronization of user and group objects, so we won't see the password sync here. We'll have to go back to the event log. And we should notice here just momentarily, I'm going to refresh the screen, there it is. So about 30 seconds ago we had a synchronization occur, and if we go to event ID 657 and look at the details of that, we'll see that it was Jane Doe and it was a password change. So that password has now been hashed and synchronized to the Azure Active Directory. The last thing I'm going to show in this demo is how you can perform a synchronization on demand. And this is particularly useful in scenarios where, for example, you might delete somebody from an on-premise Active Directory, and you want that synchronization to be immediate in the Azure Active Directory. So to illustrate, I'm going to sign in to the access panel as Bob Smith, and then we'll delete Bob Smith from the local Active Directory and perform an on-demand synchronization. Okay, so you can see that I'm actually signed into the access panel as Bob Smith. Now, the fact that I don't have any applications doesn't really matter. It's just the fact that I was able to sign into the access panel. So now I'm going to go back to the local Azure Active Directory, and I'm going to delete Bob Smith. Okay, so here is Bob Smith. I'm going to go ahead and delete him. Now, just to illustrate, I'm going to go back to my Azure Active Directory and click on Users, and we'll see Bob Smith is still there. Now, remember, directory sync occurs on about a 2-hour interval, and we don't want to wait that long. We want to perform this synchronization on demand. So I'm going to go back to the DirSync server, and inside this folder right here is a couple of PowerShell scripts. And what we want to do first is, I'm going to edit this with PowerShell, ISE. Okay, so the first thing I need to do is run this script. So I'm just going to hit the run button, and that imported the modules that I needed. And now I'm just going to run start online coexistence sync. So now I'm going to go back to the synchronization service manager, because this is an object synchronization, so I can just look at it there. And we can see right now there's actually a synchronization that's in progress. Okay, and now it's complete. And you'll notice that there was one update and one delete. So the update and the delete are the same. If I click on this and drill into it, we should see that it's Bob Smith. And indeed it is. So Bob Smith has been deleted as part of that synchronization. I'm going to go back to the Azure Active Directory in the Azure Management Portal, and we should notice that Bob Smith is no longer there. So I'm going to refresh the screen. And as you can see, Bob Smith is no longer in the Azure Active Directory. And just to illustrate, I'll also try to sign into the Access Panel again as Bob Smith. And as you can see, we're not able to sign in now as Bob Smith. So that concludes this demo of directory synchronization with password sync. In this last section, I'm going to change gears a bit and talk about running Windows Server Active Directory on virtual machines in Azure. So why would you run Windows Server AD on a virtual machine in Azure when you have Azure Active Directory? Well, there can be many reasons for doing this. One is simply to support the requirements for an existing application workload that you want to move to Azure. So for example, if you're wanting to move, say, a SharePoint farm to Azure, then this is a good candidate for running Windows Server Active Directory in a virtual machine to support the Windows Integrated Authentication, something that Azure Active Directory does not provide. Now, technically, you could have your SharePoint farm call back down into your on-premises Active Directory, but the problem with this is simply the amount of chattiness that occurs between SharePoint and Windows Server AD. Another scenario could be running, say, a SQL server with always-on availability groups in virtual machines in Azure. Here, you're going to need Windows Server Active Directory because the failover clustering in this environment requires the presence of an Active Directory domain. Another scenario might be part of a DR story, where an organization may set up a limited set of virtual machines with a Windows Server Active Directory to facilitate branch offices in the event of an outage. And then finally, perhaps you just want to move some dev test workloads to Azure. For example, if you need to do testing of an application that requires Windows Server Active Directory, Then standing up a dev test environment in the cloud that includes a Windows Server AD instance is a very powerful use case. The point is that sometimes it's just absolutely necessary to run Windows Server AD in a virtual machine, and the presence of Azure Active Directory should not prevent you from doing so when you need to. If you are planning to move an existing on-premises machine running Windows Server AD to Azure, then you will need to first convert that physical machine to a virtual machine, and then move the domain controller's VHD to Azure Storage, and then create the new virtual machine from the VHD. Or, if you plan to start with a new virtual machine in Azure, you could create a new virtual machine running Windows Server AD in Azure, and then replicate the directory on-premises to that instance in Azure. As with any virtual machine that you build that's going to store critical data, such as the directory database for Active Directory, you should attach a data disk with caching turned off. And during the installation of Active Directory, specify this data disk as the location for the database and log files. Virtual machines in Azure use a dynamically assigned IP address. However, the lease for the IP address is an infinite one. So as long as you don't deallocate your virtual machine, the IP address will stay the same. Do not try to assign a static IP in the adapter settings of the virtual machine. Doing so will result in you losing all communication to the virtual machine. Now the Azure PowerShell commandlets do provide a commandlet called set Azure static VNet IP that provides a way for you to assign a static IP to a virtual machine. So if you absolutely have to have a static IP for a virtual machine, this is the way to achieve it. You will also need to deploy DNS on the domain controller because the default Azure DNS doesn't support the DNS requirements for Windows Server Active Directory. When configuring your virtual network properties that your server Active Directory instance is going to run in, be sure to set the DNS IP to reference your Windows Server Active Directory virtual machine. While we're talking about running Windows Server Active Directory on Azure virtual machines, let's talk briefly about running Active Directory Federation services on Azure virtual machines. First of all, running Windows Server ADFS on Azure VMs is a supported scenario. In doing so, you will want to follow closely the ADFS best practices guidance for setting up ADFS. One thing the guidance will call for is load balancing the ADFS proxy and STS endpoints for high availability. To do this in Azure, be sure to use the Azure Internal Load Balancer. This also requires that your virtual network be a regional virtual network. To illustrate this point, this diagram is a typical ADFS deployment running on-premises that adheres to all the deployment best practices. On the left is the ADFS farm running in the corporate network behind the firewall. It's complete with DNS and load balancing for HA for internet access. On the right is the Federation server proxies to handle the extranet access, also load balance for HA. Now, here is an illustration of how this could be deployed in Azure, where you have ADFS servers in one cloud service and the ADFS proxy servers in another. This provides the HA for both ADFS servers and ADFS proxy servers that the best practice guidelines call for. Using the internal load balancer, you are able to load balance the ADFS servers without exposing the endpoints publicly. This provides a path for external users to authenticate through, and it also defines the path for internal users. So there could be a small amount of latency that's introduced for on-premises users, but using the internal load balancer does keep you in line with the ADFS best practices guidance. Now, the ideal and recommended solution for, say, production environments is to move just your ADFS proxy servers to Azure and set up a site-to-site VPN or even express route between the on-premises and Azure environments. This is the guidance if you are targeting a production environment and you need to make applications available to both internal and external users. Here is an illustration of this scenario where you keep your ADFS servers on-premises and move just your ADFS proxy servers to Azure. On the left is the on-premises environment with a domain controller, an ADFS farm with a load balancer for high availability, and some line of business applications for the on-premises users. This on-premises environment is extended to Azure through a VPN to a virtual network in Azure. In the virtual network is a duplicated domain controller, ADFS proxy servers that are load balanced through Azure's load balancer or virtual IP, and the line of business applications for the external users, which is also load balanced through Azure's load balancer or VIP. So to wrap things up, let's just review what we've covered. We started off with an introduction to Microsoft Azure Active Directory. Then we took an in-depth look at application access. We looked at password-based as well as federation-based application access. We looked at the Azure Active Directory application proxy service. We also saw multi-factor authentication and some company branding features that are part of Azure Active Directory Premium. We looked at directory integration and extending the on-premises Windows Server Active Directory to Azure Active Directory. And then finally, we closed with a discussion around running Windows Server Active Directory and ADFS workloads on Azure Virtual Machines in Azure. These are some suggested learning exercises consisting of both hands-on labs and some selected videos to augment the learning experience from this module. Here are some resources that are specific to this module. One thing you might want to keep an eye on is the Active Directory team blog. There are a lot of new announcements coming out from the Active Directory team, specifically things like the AAD sync tool. So if you're interested in that, be sure to check out that team blog. And these are some Microsoft Azure resources that are not necessarily Azure Active Directory specific. These are just really good resources about the Microsoft Azure platform. There's the Channel 9 series. And of course, if you have any questions, you can always pose those questions to Stack Overflow or the Microsoft forums. Coming up next is going to be cloud services and websites. Thank you for viewing this module.